Oh my god, I need some coffee.
Blog Talk Radio.
Who's worse to?
Jeff, Karen, Kat, are you ready for this one?
U-C-R.
Go.
We saying what we want, give it to you non-stop. Any place, anytime, not afraid to speak our mind. That's just the way we roll, we never gonna tell. Unstoppable, original, uncensored radio.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. This is yet another awesome live show of No Rules, Just Mics. We are your No Rules radio show that's going to bring you the latest and sometimes controversial topics that you want to know. I am one of your hosts, Topher, and I have Christian on the line who's going to lay down the dirt with me. Christian, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Topher. Good to be with you on another Tuesday night. And also we have in our kind of control in the chat room doing some screening. I want to say hey and thanks to Toku. I'm sure we'll hear from him a little bit later. And hey to everybody who's already tuned in. We appreciate it, and welcome to another edition of No Rules, Just Mike. Topher, how about you? How you doing, man?
Oh, God, I'm exhausted.
It's been a busy few weeks.
But very, well, very excited and very happy. Did you have a good Easter?
Yeah, it was good. Well, you know, it's good and it's bad. You know, as I mentioned plenty of times before, you know, we both live in Charleston, and my family still all lives in Connecticut. So I spent Easter Sunday with my girlfriend and her family, which is great. You know, I like her family. We all get along. We have some good food, and they're always a riot to be around. But, you know, it always makes me miss my family more so than in the past when I was here. You know, when I didn't have a family to hang out with, if it was just myself or friends hanging out on a holiday, it didn't really feel like you were missing anything. But
right.
Seeing her and her family interact and have their stuff, it definitely made me miss my family a lot. But my parents are coming down in a couple of weeks, so I'm excited about that.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. How about your Easter?
It was good. It was good. We celebrated. I took a much-needed long staycation, if you will. I took half a Thursday off from work, and then, of course, I took all day Friday and then the weekend. On Friday, we took Willow to her first vet appointment, which was interesting, to say the least. They did the little poop test, which was uncomfortable to watch. And it was uncomfortable probably for her because they did it in the middle of the lobby, which I found was really interesting. But there wasn't anybody there.
For your poor dog. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
There wasn't anybody there, but, you know, nonetheless, she is a lady, and, you know, they should treat her like one. And then Friday evening, Matthew and I and my mom and his parents all went to go see the Cirque du Soleil show that was here in Charleston. Over the weekend.
Oh, nice. How was that?
Oh, God, it was fantastic. It was amazing. I don't know if anybody has seen Cirque du Soleil. If you have not, I recommend going to see one of them. There's a bunch of them. I think there's like 8 or 9 different Cirque du Soleil shows. Matthew and I saw my first one on our honeymoon in Disney. We went to see La Nuba, which was amazing and fantastic, but Kidon, which was the one that was in Charleston, which we just saw, was spectacular. I was sitting on the edge of my seat the entire time. There was an intermission kind of about halfway through the show, and you really needed it because it was so powerful. For those of you who don't know anything about Cirque du Soleil, it's not a circus per se. It's definitely performers. There's not a lot of dancing. It's almost like if you were to take a book and have actors on a stage and they do this interpretive dance type of emotional expose of what's going on. There's definitely gymnasts. There's people who are swinging on ribbons and kind of like flying over the stage and stuff. It's really, really an amazing event. It was really, really cool. But this show, Kidam, the storyline behind it is that there's this little girl who whose parents don't pay any attention to her. So she ends up creating this dream world for herself, and it's just kind of the things that happen in this girl's dream. Crazy stuff. So if you guys have not seen it, I recommend it. But we did that, and then on Saturday we went to Pearl's, which is a really awesome oyster bar place here in Charleston, in a small town called Avondale, which is right outside of downtown Charleston. And Christian, have you ever been there?
I've been to Pearl's, the one downtown Charleston, not the one in Avondale. I've been at other restaurants in Avondale, though, but not Pearl's specifically. But I've been to the one downtown, which I imagine is pretty much the same thing as far as the menus and stuff.
Yes. It was a big surprise, let's put it that way. If you look at the outside of this place, it looks kind of sketchy. But when you go in, I mean, they have, like, dark wood, like, mahogany. It's, like, a really nice place on the inside. And I had my first oyster shooter.
Ah, yes. I had one of those when I went to the downtown one. The thing you have to have when you go to this place is the oyster shooter, and I had it at the downtown one. But, yeah, you can tell everybody what it's about, but I just wanted to chime in that, yeah, I've had it as well.
Oh, God. Okay, it's probably the most scariest thing you'll ever have. It's think of a shot glass of Bloody Mary, okay? Not that scary. It's, with vodka and, tomato juice and a little bit of horseradish and, whatever awesome stuff they put in. But they leave enough space in the top of it that they drop a raw oyster into the center of it, and you're supposed to shoot it and just, like a regular shot, and just swallow everything. It creeped me out a little bit when they were making it. I was like, oh, my God, I don't know if I could do this. Well, I did it, and it was so much fun. It was really awesome. I had a great time there. So that was my weekend.
Nice.
That was my weekend.
The oyster shooter is a little tough because, it's kind of spicy, and then it's a shot. You're going to have that, kind of burn. And then, the toughest part is definitely the oyster that's in there because, not only are you swallowing liquor, but you've got to swallow that as well. So it can be a little tricky for some people, but I was able to do it, and it wasn't so bad. It was a little spicy, but, not too bad. If you're in Charleston, I recommend it, or anywhere else. I'm sure there's oyster shooters all over the place.
Yeah, if you're going to ask me where should I go for an oyster shooter, that's probably going to be the place because they cycle through them really regularly, and they get them in all the time. So that would be my recommendation.
Yeah, and they're known for oysters. I mean, they're bringing in fresh oysters probably from Charleston amongst other, maybe the Gulf too if it's off-season or something. But so you're going to get good oysters, thanks as well.
Right. Yeah, it was really cool. Update on Willow, who is somewhere around the house. She is such a great dog. She really is. But she is getting into this habit where she's nibbling. And she's not biting, but she's definitely wanting to do play biting. And I don't know how to stop her because that's driving me up a wall. So, if you have any tips, any advice, if anybody in the chat room has any tips or advice, you can give us a call on air, 323-417-6705, and then press number 1, and Toku will screen your call. But any advice that you guys have for nibbling puppies, I would greatly appreciate it, because this is just a little much for me.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, dogs, they don't have hands, obviously. Oh, that's not groundbreaking.
Wow.
Just in case you guys didn't know, dogs do not have hands. But all seriousness, so they use their mouths for everything, of course, to pick up things, et cetera, et cetera. Again, stuff people know. So it's tough because, they're playing with you and they don't really know what other ways to really play. And, if they're not hurting you, you don't know, well, should I allow them to do it? And that's the same thing we have with our puppy. And still a little bit now where when he wants to play, he'll get a little bitey. It doesn't hurt, but, we don't really want him getting in the habit of doing that. So we're still working on it, but, we, depending on how bad it was, punish him, put him in his cage every time he bit, no bite, whatever, just to try to get a repetitive
you know, thing in his head, so he would know, okay, when I do this, they say that, and then put me in the cage, and I don't like that. That's what we've been doing. I know Burson, I don't know if he's in the chat today, I think he was saying he was having problems. He likes the Caesar Milan approach, you know, kind of like the, you make that little noise, you know, like it's, when they do something, you don't, you know, that kind of thing. But,
yeah,
yeah, good luck, puppies.
Yeah, yeah, Matthew does the Caesar Milan hiss thing.
Yeah.
And he does a good job. And, you know, like, when you tell her to stop, you know, she's like, she stops, and then she just kind of looks at you with those old doe eyes, and then she immediately tries to do it again. And I'm like,
right.
Just because you're cute does not mean you get to get away with this. No, little lady. She had
trying
to get into the garbage, and I was like, uh-uh.
Oh,
we had a conversation about this, sweetheart, and you were not going in the trash. No.
Now, yeah, puppies, they're always finding trouble, even when they get a little bit older. And they'll test them, you know. They'll figure it out and be like, okay, I can't do this, but there's going to be that time where you do a little something that's not normal, and they're going to take
right.
their chance. But today's the day I'm going to get in the trash, and I won't get in trouble. But oh, yeah.
Exactly.
You guys are in for a lot of fun times, even if there's little annoyances along the way. Not much better than having a dog.
Oh, no, she's great. She's so much fun. Heather in the chat room says she uses squirt bottles. I guess, like, squirt bottles work really, really well. And I do tap her on the nose. I put my finger firmly on her nose, and I say no. And she just licks it and then bites it.
So that's not working so well. I was like, that kind of hurts. I'm going to bite you.
Right. Excuse you.
No.
You're telling me no, but you're putting your finger in my face. So no must mean yes at this point.
Dogs, you know, and well, also they're probably not happy with what you're doing. Like, excuse you, that's not cool. And then they're gonna bite you. You want to be mad at them, but you're like, well, what would I do if someone was and I was a dog? What would I do if someone's like putting their hand in my face like that? I would slap it away or you know whatever. So yeah,
right.
Well, yep, gotta love it.
They are great. She is amazing. She is a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
And the type of dog, she's a Shepherd Rotty mix. She's a Shepherd Rottweiler
mm-hmm.
mix. And apparently they're very, very smart dogs. I mean, she learned to sit and give her paw in like 5 minutes. And she has that down. It's the whole no biting that apparently she just chooses not to pick up or, you know, she chooses to ignore. So she's going to be a piece of work.
Yeah, and again, it's tough for dogs. You know, I try to keep that in mind with my dog too. Again, that's you know, that's all they really know is if they want to play, they're gonna bite. You know, if they want to pick up something, they gotta use their mouth. And sometimes you are that something that they want to control. You know, or they want to play with. So it's tough. It's tough to break them of it. It's all they really know. You know how to interact with you in a, you know, when they do want to play a little bit rougher. You know, they're not in the mood to cuddle or you know something like that. They don't know what else to do. It's tough, but you gotta.
Right.
Got to keep strong. As my girlfriend would always tell me, because I'd be the one who's like, oh, just let him be. He didn't mean to this time. And she's like, no, you got to be consistent. You got to be consistent. Otherwise, he's never going to know what's right and what's wrong and all that kind of stuff.
She would be the strong arm.
Absolutely. She's the one who's like always punishing and disciplining. And I'm more like, oh, he probably just had a bad day. He just, you know,
oh my
let it go.
Yeah, I'm very much your girlfriend's POV. It's
yeah,
you gotta be disciplined. You gotta make sure that you follow the rules. There's fun,
right,
but there's
right.
also rules that you have to have. But Matt's just like, oh, you vote. No, that motherfucker
yep.
just get on my carpet. No, no lovey dovey. Motherfucker goes out. But there's that. I can talk about my dog forever.
I know. I hear you.
It's different. It's kind of like having a kid. I would assume, you know, I'm pretty sure people, you know, who say, you know, oh, I have a kid, look, and they like throw like thousands of pictures in your face, and you're like, I give you shit about your kid, but I'll look at the pictures
yeah.
anyway because you're very excited, you know.
So right, exactly.
Sorry, everybody. Sorry about all the puppy talk. I do want to shift gears a little. Go ahead.
I was gonna say before we move on, Burson has hit me up on Twitter at. Just so you all know, it's at Fang225. So if you have problems with the chat or can't make it or just want to send me messages, it's Feng225. He said, yeah, training is hard. You got to give 100% attention 100% of the time to get results. And that's kind of what my girlfriend was saying, and what the same boat you're in. So, yeah, everybody, first, and thanks for that. And earlier in the chat room, thanks for the information about the squirt bottle. What was it, Heather, right, who said that?
Yeah,
we appreciate the feedback and everybody participating. That's what it's all about. But with that, so for
I love participation. It's the funnest thing ever.
Participation! We need to come up with a participation song.
I know. We need a song for all our little weird things we come up with. It's a gold star.
We need a song for No Rules, Just Mike Steen. That's what we need. So we need to start working on that one.
But hey, tough. We're not getting paid for this gig, you know? We got to get. Why can't we just turn this into a full-time gig somehow?
You know what? If I could, I absolutely would. If I could spend 40 hours doing this, I think it'd be great. I have so much fun doing it. It's awesome.
That's the problem. A lot of fun stuff. You're doing it for free for a while or for very little pay. You're just doing it because you love it and you're having fun, and we are. And that's the tough part. You want to dedicate more time to it. But it's tough. When you're doing your extracurricular activities. But
I haven't heard that word since I was in high school.
And honestly, I know exactly what you're talking about loving the show and loving the loving what we're doing, because, last night I pulled a prank on our show to have fun with everyone, saying I was retiring and stuff. It was fun. Everyone got a good laugh out of it, and, it was a good April Fool's joke. No harm, no foul, but, it's true.
That's fine.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It's tough to have fun and everything. Yeah, absolutely.
I want to shift gears just a little bit. I want to mention that next week, I know that I've been saying this, that it's going to be next week, and next week comes and it doesn't happen. But I promise you, next week, my very good friend, David Berger, who is the author of the book Task Force Gaia, Finding Balance, is going to be on the show next Tuesday at 8, so you guys really, really, really should tune in. I'm going to see if we can get the link to his book from Amazon on the website or in the chat room that way. If you guys have not already purchased it, I highly recommend it. It's such a good book. We'll take calls and we'll make sure that we kind of plaster him all over the place, because he's actually in the process of writing his second book. So I think it'd be really awesome to kind of hear how that journey is going. So tune in next Tuesday at 8 for David Berger talking about his book, Task Force Gaia. Christian, have you read it?
I'm in the process right now. Ever since we thought we were going to have him on a little bit earlier, I started reading it. Haven't finished it. It's a big book. It's a hefty book. Which isn't to say it's a bad book, or to have that seem negative at all. It takes a while to get through. But yeah, I started it. I kind of expected it to be kind of science fiction-y. Based on what you've told me in the past, but I didn't realize it had a lot of tie-ins to, Greek, Roman mythology. Right at the beginning. I didn't realize that at first. So it's been an interesting read. It's not a book I normally would go for in the store, but, it's been good so far. But, yeah, nowhere near completion, unfortunately, but hopefully I can knock out some more before next week.
Right. Yeah, so I recommend that you guys get it because it's such a good book, and it's good to promote authors who are writing books and doing their publishing themselves. I believe
Absolutely. He's
just going through. I think he's not going through a big publishing company. He's just kind of doing it through. He does have it published, and you can get either paperback or you can get it on any kind of electronic reading device, whether it's an iPad or Kindle Fire or an e-book or Nooks or God, there are thousands of those things out there.
But
whatever reading device
that
you use to read, yes, yeah, you can get it there. I recommend it. So next week at 8 o'clock, he will be on. I want to talk about it's a big shitting subject that I don't think you can really kind of segue from that into this. But apparently the Ford Motor Company had to apologize for their art depicting tied up women in the back of a, I guess it's one of their new cars in, I believe it's in Italy, called the Ford Figo, or India, I'm sorry, not Indy, Italy. It's called the Ford Figo. And apparently it's gotten, it has one of their former prime ministers of Italy kind of in the front part of the car, and it shows the trunk open, and there's like Paris Hilton and the Kardashian sisters all tied up and gagged in the back. They said, according to CNN.com, Ford said, "We deeply regret this incident and agree with our agency partners that it should have never happened." I mean, come on. It took a lot of foresight and a lot of thought into not only having women tied up and gagged in the back of a car, but who they were going to be and who's going to be in the front seat. I mean, there was a lot of thought process. You know, there should have been someone saying, you know, this is probably not the best idea that we can come up with. Have you read that at all? Or have you seen that
question? I didn't know about the one you just spoke about. I knew about the Paris Hilton and the Kardashian sisters one. There's a bunch of different ones. The one I heard about was Paris Hilton in the front seat, like kind of looking behind, like winking, and she had the Kardashians tied up. And I heard people all up in arms because it had, you know, women tied up. And part of me was like, okay, no, it's not a very good idea. However, you know, it's celebrities, and
you
know, clearly,
just say it. You were turned on.
Right. No, not at all. I didn't even see the picture. I just read an article. I didn't even see the picture with it. But, you know, I was like, they're celebrities. This kind of stuff happens. People poke fun at them. Clearly, Ford does not have some kind of agenda where they're trying to promote kidnapping. But I understood where people were kind of, like, a little upset about it. But when I was just celebrities, I was like, who cares? It's kind of funny. Like, Paris Hilton was the original reality person. And now this new era of reality television. And the Kardashians have kind of completely taken over and made a ton more money than she has. So I was like, oh, that's
right.
Kind of funny. But then hearing about...
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I just think, you know, if it's going to be funny, don't apologize. You know, come out and say, you know,
right.
We thought it was going to be, you know, kind of a funny joke, and I'm sorry that people, you know, took offense to it. But don't kind of renege, you know? That just makes you look...
Well, and it gets worse, too. I mean, you go from celebrities to ones that aren't necessarily as clear. The one you mentioned was of Silvio Berlusconi, the former prime minister, who is a notorious, like, womanizer, and they had all these, like, crazy parties and stuff when he was the prime minister, and he's just a, you know. So even that's kind of funny because, you know, it's the whole womanizing thing, but when you got three girls tied up in the back and they're just random, and you're putting this out in countries like India, it starts to be a little different, you know, not saying that Americans shouldn't be upset about it, but... you know, even the article mentions India is particularly sensitive to violence against women because there's been, you know, several, as I'm sure people know, very high profile, you know, like gang rapes and violent crimes against women in that country. And then you're going to put out an advertisement that's showing women tied up with gags in their mouths in the back of a trunk. I don't know. There was one, to be fair. There was one with three male race car drivers tied up in the back. So there was a male version. Not that makes it right. Really,
I didn't see that.
Yeah, there's it's in a CNN Money article that I'm looking at in the third paragraph after the picture. But anyway, so there was a male version. Now, I don't know, I don't get the whole race car driver thing. It's probably specific to the country that they put it in. That shows a little bit of foresight on Ford's and whatever ad agency they went through, you know, they're doing something kind of silly. You know, like they decided the male version, but no, even though at first I was kind of like, well, it's kind of funny, is the more I thought about it, even if you put celebrities in there, I mean, you had to know this was going to be a bad idea.
Yeah.
Apparently they did, unless that was in all along, which was any press is good press kind of thing. You know
exactly,
what I mean?
That's exactly what I was going to say. You know, if they got people talking about it, and apparently, you know, if you go to the website, and I can post that if you guys are interested. At the bottom, you can kind of leave a message. And apparently, there have been like 739 comments regarding this. So it's getting around. I mean, that's...
Oh, absolutely.
You know, publicity, whether it's good or bad, is still good publicity. Because people are talking about it. People are now they're probably interested in seeing what the car looks like to see if there's enough space to fit three women in the back seat of in the trunk of a car.
I don't know.
No, it's
I'm just saying.
It's completely tasteless. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And I like when companies will push the envelope a little bit and try to do something, number one, that's different, number two, that maybe will make you think, you know, not that this is one of those types of ads, but I'm just talking about things that I do appreciate when companies step outside the box. So I appreciate that, but this just was an ill-conceived idea from the start. I don't know. Again, I appreciate pushing the envelope, but this was just a time where it was like, well, how did you not foresee this being even a minor issue? A lot of companies are concerned about image.
Aside from all of that, how does that sell your car?
Who
are you really targeting here?
Exactly. Like, criminals, kidnappers, rapists? I didn't see the tagline that was along with it, and I'm sure someone in the chat may have seen it. Here it is. Leave your worries behind is what it is. Okay. So why not have Silvio Berlusconi just peeling out and a bunch of, you know, girls behind him just looking kind of pissed that he's leaving without them? Or, you know, Paris Hilton doing that to the Kardashian sisters. Like, why did you have to have them in the back tied up? You're not leaving them behind. You're putting them in your trunk and bringing them with you, a.k.a. kidnapping.
That means that there's a lot of trunk space. Space.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah, you can fit three chicks back there, apparently, or three male race car drivers, whatever you
want.
Well,
not just three chicks, three Kardashians. And you
that's
know them bitches' asses are huge.
See?
I'm just
not
saying. There's a lot of trunk space. Now that you break it down, it's not that bad of a little graphics there. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Well, all right.
That's
kidding.
What she said.
Oh goodness.
Oh boy. Well, shifting gears out of Ford, I would think at this point before we talk ourselves into any trouble.
Yep.
Let's move on. What else has been going on? We've had a couple weeks off, and I know that you like to talk about technology and things like that, and I do as well. And we've long ago professed our love for all things Apple. Toku, I know, is on the opposite end of that spectrum. However, we all kind of agreed with our thoughts on the BlackBerry. And believe it or not, BlackBerry was in the news this week, was it not, Topher?
They were, actually. They were in the news, I believe it was later, towards the end of last week, but apparently they're saying that there is zero hope for BlackBerry. According to, again, apparently I like CNN.com. According to CNN, they were saying that the shares of BlackBerry plunged after their U.S. launch of the new Z10 smartphone, and the stock is actually downgraded by the Goldman Sachs. So, I mean, you can't get any worse than BlackBerry. And the interesting thing for me is that BlackBerry used to be the device to purchase. And, Christian, you worked in retail, mobile cellular retail. You know that BlackBerry was, you know, the big shit.
There was no other option. If you wanted a smartphone, before the iPhone came out, there was not literally, because you did have options, but figuratively, there was no other option. There was Palm, and they sucked, and there was a couple, like, Windows devices, which were awful. BlackBerry was it. It was so reliable. It wasn't flashy, but back then smartphones were. You know, so what it did was so reliable, and I had the BlackBerry Messenger, which people liked, but slowly, maybe not, you know, maybe in cell phone terms slowly, but really quickly, BlackBerry just fell not only behind iPhone, but then also behind Droid. You know, so it's in third, but even Windows is nipping at its heels and made up a lot of ground, and Windows is terrible and still is.
Yep.
But, yeah, I mean, at this point, if you're BlackBerry, do you try to keep up with the iPhones and the Droids of the world, or you just keep doing the BlackBerry thing and just be like, hey, government likes us, people who don't want all that flash, they like us, they just want a simple, reliable device that you can still get on the Internet,
You can still do your emails, and it's secure. You know, because the government, including the president and stuff, they still use BlackBerries. I don't know. They keep trying to kind of, unless they come up with some groundbreaking thing, I just don't see what's the point of them even trying to keep up. It's too late. They fell behind, and they've already lost that race. So it's either it's too late to adapt, really, unless they come out with some new groundbreaking feature. You know what I mean? And the Z10, I think it's called, there is nothing groundbreaking about it.
Right.
Well,
right.
And
I mean,
personally, I know that another time that BlackBerry really got under scrutiny was the fact that one of the countries, I think it was India, told them basically that you can't sell our devices here because you won't give us backdoor access to your networks and shit. And it's like, of course BlackBerry's going to deny that. And, you know, India has, what, 1 billion people in it? So it's like, that's a huge market right there. That's 1/7 of the world's population right there. And if you can't sell to 1/7 of the world's population, you pretty much shot yourself in the foot.
And that's the other thing, too, is that they were great in other countries. And even when the iPhone first came out, if you wanted to travel and bring your phone with you, BlackBerry was the option. There really wasn't anything else. It worked in other countries. It, you know, depending on the country, of course, it just did. And then eventually iPhone adapted to that. You know, iPhone and Droid, they were like, hey, let's be super popular in America. Let's kick some butt. And let's just have these awesome features. And then we'll adapt those other little tweaks later. People would prefer a phone that has all these cool applications and you can do this, that, and the other. And add the global travel later and stuff like that. But, I mean, the new BlackBerry looks like a Droid. It looks like an iPhone. It has a big touchscreen. The little buttons are squares, you know, like the little application icons on your screen. It looks just like all the other devices. Topher, I mean, it looks better than they used to. It looks up to date. But is there anything BlackBerry could do that would make people go buy it? At this point,
I don't know. For me, I think BlackBerry failed miserably when they came out with the Storm as a rebuttal to the iPhone. I think it was like the iPhone 3 or the iPhone 2 or whatever the initial iPhone was that came out. That was at that point 3G. I think that was a big thing. 3G was huge. 3G was it. And I think they really kind of fell on their heads when they came out with the Storm, and then didn't make it any better when the Storm 2 came out. I don't know if you guys remember the Storm 2.
It just felt
rushed.
I think
they need
to
stick to one avenue, and I think you're right. I think it needs to be kind of geared toward people in the military or you know that kind of demographics, or come out with something completely different that has not been touched yet, you know. And I think that's kind of hard because they're a cellular company, you know. I think I don't know.
Well,
I think they just need to make a better product. But apparently, I think he upset Chris Burson.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. He makes a good point, and he puts it on Twitter. And I didn't realize you were tagged in it too, so I didn't realize you saw it. Sorry about that. But anyway. And he makes a good point, which is, you know, have either of you guys actually put your hands on the device? And no, I absolutely haven't, to be completely honest, and neither has Topher. But now that I don't work in the field, especially, I don't have a reason to put that in my hands because I love my iPhone. I have no problems with it. And that's kind of my point, is that if they don't do something groundbreaking to the normal everyday customer who already loves their iPhone, whether because it, you know, for reasons, you know, like it works well, it's got good service or whatever, or if they just like it because it's the iPhone, what's going to bring them to actually go ahead and put their hands on the BlackBerry? And then even if they do, will it make them want it? I think that's more of what I was getting at, is that they can flash and be like, hey, this phone does exactly what your iPhone does and it looks like it. Okay, well, I'm happy with my phone. I think a lot of people are happy with their phone. Now, I know Burson may disagree, as I know he has worked in the cell phone field much like myself, so a lot of customers are not happy. But I think you understand my point. In the grand scheme of things, most iPhone users are happy. So it's tough. What would actually
you know, make them want to make that switch, even if it is a good device, without anything
right.
really differentiating it, you know, I don't know.
Right. Well, you know, speaking of iPhone, they're actually reporting, they're looking at summer to launch their new generation iPhone device. I mean,
now, is this
isn't that a
from
little
Apple,
soon?
Or this is a rumor?
No, no, it's actually, I think I found it on the Huffington Post.
Okay, all right.
They were saying the next iPhone release, Apple's reportedly eyeing summer launch for next generation device. I think that other it's going to be. I think they're presumably going to call it, according to the Wall Street Journal, that they're going to. It's going to be similar size and shape to the iPhone 5. It's going to be kind of like the iPhone 4S, but it's going to be the iPhone 5S. But it might they're saying it might contain a fingerprint sensor system, which would be cool. But I think didn't we just get the iPhone 5 back in December or October or something like
yeah.
that?
Yeah, it was right around Christmas time. Yeah,
and I think that's a little soon, personally.
And it might not be. It might not be true until you hear it from Apple. You know, you never know for sure. Now, I'm not saying, you know, Huffington Post is a pretty good, you know, when it comes to technology, well, lots of different news sources, but they're, you know, they're a reputable source for the most part. But even so, I've seen so many rumors, especially when I used to work in the field about release dates. But summer, you know, if we're talking late summer, you know, like, you know, 6 months or so plus, I wouldn't be surprised. Apple tends to do little tweaks like that. Just to try to get some more people whose contracts are up or things like that before they make their next big launch.
Well, and
I see
it as a little bit of a market saturation, too, because if you think about it, if you've got a new iPhone version coming out every 6 months, you can pretty much say, okay, well, here's your new version. Oh, here's your new version. You know, you can saturate the market with your version. And
mm-hmm.
that's really, as far as I'm concerned, what Apple is trying to do and what their real competition line is to Droid. Because as much as you two may love your Apple, Android just does have more features overall.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
I completely agree.
Yeah, we're not denying that.
It's just
I prefer my phone to be fast and reliable and work. That's all. Sorry.
Understandable.
I hope I didn't offend any of you Droid users that love your Droid. I had a Droid, I love my Droid, and then I got an iPhone. And that all changed. What they both have though are those little scanners for their I think they're called QR codes or whatever not.
Yeah.
Where you scan like a little it looks like a weird square barcode. But you scan it, and it gives you a whole lot more information. Well, apparently, Christian, you and I talked about this quite a while ago. I think it was in our pilot days or whatever not, that they're now putting QR codes on tombstones.
Yeah, we did talk about that a long time ago. You're right. Yep.
Well, China, I think it was, oh, God, I think it was Austria that did it initially. China's jumping on board.
Yeah. Really?
China is now moving to that.
So this is spreading now.
It is spreading. So I think it's worth actually having a live conversation about it, because I don't think that pilot ever aired, or our pilot ever aired.
Yeah, I don't think that was one of our live episodes, but yeah, absolutely. And for those who don't know, the QR codes, you've probably seen them in stores or on advertisements. They're the black and white, you know, it's usually a square, and it's like black and white. It almost looks like static on a TV or something. It's just, it doesn't really look like it's anything. It looks like it might be an error. But, yeah, you use a QR reader on your cell phone or tablet, and what it does is it scans it kind of like a barcode. It pulls up information, you know, like a barcode pulls up what the product is and how much it is. This will pull out whatever it wants. It might pop open a website. It might open up an application for you to download. But, yeah, I think it was Austria that we first heard about it months ago, where people could walk in to a cemetery and we could scan a QR code and learn about the person's life using that scan. And it was, you know, date of birth, and date of death name and stuff like that. But the family had options of adding more content, you know, like a longer story about their life or pictures and stuff like that. And I think we had a conversation about how we felt about that, if we thought that was a good use of technology or if it was a little creepy or what. And I know we talked about it months ago. I'm still not quite sure how I feel about it. I don't know about you, if you've come to any conclusions over it.
Right. So here's my thought. I think it's a really, really awesome idea. Prime example, you know, it seems a little creepy for you to go up to a tombstone to pay, you know, respects or you know, but when you see the code, you kind of just want to just scan it. I think it's good, especially if the family has full control of what's posted. You know, they can, it kind of, maybe it can give you a little bit of insight as to who that person was. You know, yeah, there's a tombstone now, but there was a live person. They were once a live person. They did things. They were a part of society. You know, I think that what you give to the world, I think it can still live on. And I think that this is a great way of not immortalizing, but not even paying respect, but not just because they're gone doesn't mean that what they've done in the past is not gone or is gone also. You know, so if you scan it, you know, you can see that this guy was, you know, this girl was part of a big research research organization that helped cure cancer finally, or, you know, he was one of the people that helped get the next space shuttle out, or he was a father with three kids and he loved playing with his children and maybe has some pictures of them. You know, I think it's a really awesome idea. I would want that. If I were to be buried, that's what I would want. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, as you talk about it, too, I see a lot of the benefits. And, it's kind of shocking to read it at first, but I don't see what a huge negative could be. I'm sure someone can think of one, but, you know, it's a cool
exactly.
idea. Because think about it now. If you do go to a cemetery for whatever reason to go see a family member, or like, if you know, here in Charleston, we have a lot of really old, really gigantic cemeteries with, like, crazy statues and just really old historic figures and things like that. If you're just poking around, you know, you see these giant tombstones sometimes. Like, I wonder who that person was. Like, why do they have this huge tombstone? Like, they must have had money. You know, their family must have had money if they were able to buy that or whatever. And usually people who have money, they have an interesting story. Not always, but a lot of the times, you know, they created something or they ran a business. And when you see the name on the tombstone, if that name doesn't ring a bell to you, that's it. It's over. But you're right. If you could pull up some information and read about that person, it brings their story at least back to life, and someone else can learn about them and realize that, yeah, this was an actual person. That's pretty much what you were saying, but I wanted to reiterate that is a really cool thing, and I wouldn't mind having something like that going forward. It would be cool, too, if cemeteries were able to do that for their more famous, you know, residents, for lack of a better term. Because there are cemeteries that have, you know, actors and political figures, historical figures, and, you know, they give out pamphlets and stuff with information about it. It wouldn't be any different to do it with a QR code.
Exactly.
No, it's an interesting idea. I wouldn't mind seeing it here, that's for sure.
Yeah, if anybody wants to chime in, you guys can always call 323-417-6705. I'd love to hear what your guys' thoughts are on the matter. I think it'd be really cool. You know, even I want to be cremated. So I think it'd be really cool. It'd be weird, and you know, not many people would see it. But I have a little tiny QR code. I don't think they're going away, honestly. I think it's going to be the new barcode. I think it's going to be the new way of getting more information or getting good deals on things, whether it's food or products or otherwise. I think they're going to be. I think the QR code can be around for a while. And Jennifer in the chat room says, for family history and trees, it would be great. And I agree. You know, both of my grandparents on both sides are deceased, and I didn't know any of them. So if there were a QR code on the tombstone, it'd be nice to just kind of scan it. And just kind of see who they were and kind of what they were like. You know, even as close to
the family, but, you know, Christian was saying famous people, I think it's a really awesome idea. Or if you're going to go see a family member, you know, you could walk by and just kind of make a day of it. I wouldn't say necessarily pack a lunch, but, you know, understand, you know, okay, who's next to my uncle, whoever? You can just kind of scan their little QR code and see who they are. I think it's a really awesome idea. I think the United States should incorporate that somehow. I think it's awesome.
It's probably only a matter of time before it happens. Stuff like that always gets incorporated. It's not going to all of a sudden pop up in every state, but I wouldn't be surprised if in the next few months we hear about one cemetery somewhere, decides to do it. You know, probably one with more famous people or a historical figure first before some of the smaller ones, because it's going to be a money thing too, of course. And then also, who puts it there? Is it the, when you order your tombstone, is that something that you request, or is it the actual, you know, so it's on the tombstone itself? Is it something that you prop up? You know, so there's a lot of money things behind it too. But, yeah, hey, maybe we should open our own QR code business for cemeteries, guys.
That's crazy.
Copyright. No one can take that. You heard it here first.
Yep.
You're going to owe me on all your QR codes you sell to cemeteries now.
There it is. Thanks for giving us some money. See, we didn't make money today.
Boom. Take those residuals. Whoever's smart enough to create the company, just send a couple residuals my way. We'll be good.
There it is. I think the only negative side that could be an issue is, you know, what are those people who unearth the dead people, especially like the rich dead people, to see if they're buried with their money or their jewelry or something?
Oh, like grave robbers?
That's what they're called, grave robbers.
Yeah.
I see that as possibly being an issue. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
No, that's true. That's true. No, you're right. It, you know, there's always going to be negatives. Somebody who no one knew was rich, all of a sudden some moron's like, oh, this guy was rich. I wonder if he was buried with something that's worth tons of money. Yeah, it's always possible, I suppose, but I don't know. And we did get a few people in the chat room responding. We appreciate it. I think Toku even said he wants this QR code to point right to his AMC Press site, which, by the way, is on at 11 o'clock on Uncensored Radio. And while we're plugging Uncensored Radio, we have a show coming up right after us, so there's absolutely no reason to sign off your computer. Guilty Pleasure is coming up in just under 15 minutes, so be sure to stay tuned for that. And before we move on from the topic, some other people who have mentioned things about this current topic that I want to make sure we recognize. Johnny in the chat room says his 3DS has a QR reader. Other gaming systems do as well, as we mentioned, advertisements a lot in magazines, newspapers I've seen. Burson agreed with what you were saying, Topher. Well, I guess what both of us were saying about QR codes being a good thing on grave sites, as odd as it may seem, he's saying, you know, it's great for family members who didn't know a certain family member. Like, you kind of alluded to it, you know, being able to go around and say, oh, well, this is my great-great uncle, and let's see what he was up to, and might be a little bit too late for our generation to do that, of course, but, you know, going forward, it'd be cool for other generations to be like, oh, well, I didn't know my great-great-grandfather was this, and, you know, it'd be kind of a cool way to learn it without having to dig through Ancestry.com's, you know, files and stuff like that, which I tried, and can be painstaking sometimes. They've done the work of putting information on their website. You don't have to go to public records, but it is still a pain to match stuff up on it. Imagine being able to just pull up something real quick. And if there was like a big database where you could put in just a person's name and look it up, kind of like Ancestry, but just with all the QR codes with information, be a really cool idea. Hopefully somebody will get on that.
Right.
But anyway.
Yeah, I was thinking about doing like Ancestry.com, but, you know, it doesn't.
It's cool.
If you have information of everybody on the planet, it's going to take forever. I don't care how many special or advanced searches you have. You're going to pull up 1,000 different people. I mean, hell, I looked up my name today on Google, and apparently I'm an astronaut. I'm some kind of actor. I'm not kidding you. I mean, if you type in my name, it comes up as some astronaut, you know. And I wish I was an astronaut. I mean, hell, that'd be kind of awesome. Maybe I should have my QR code his QR code.
Yeah, just switch it up. Or start putting on your, like, your blog, myblogtalkradio.com profile and things like that, that, you know, your, or myuncensoredradio.com, I mean.
Yeah.
Your profile. Are an astronaut, maybe people will start getting you guys confused, and we'll get some more listeners on board who think they're listening to an astronaut just wax poetic about his life and things. It could be pretty interesting.
Yeah, this is this guy's been in space way too long, man. This guy's been in space way too long. Oh, goodness. I wanted to change subjects real quick because this is something that I'm very, very excited about. Hang on.
I'm hanging.
Who's Uncensored Radio 766? Were you a part of a? Were you a part of a band in New York, in the New York State?
I think he's saying when you Google his name.
Oh.
Kind of
like
you're an astronaut.
Oh. Wow. It's been a long day.
Yeah.
It is a long day. Have you Googled yourself?
Me, yeah, I have. I mean, who hasn't, let's be honest. I don't remember anything interesting coming up at all. There's a guy with my name. He's a German actor. Apparently my last name has German ties. So there's a lot of weird stuff that comes up that I don't understand because it's usually in a different language. Sometimes French as well for whatever reason. I have absolutely no interesting ties to my name, which is kind of cool. I like, you know, because if anybody hears my name, they're like, oh, I've heard that before somewhere. So that is pretty cool. But every once in a while, I do get, like, a random person on Facebook request my friendship, and they have the exact same name as me. I'm like, all right, well, that's cool that we have the same name, but I don't really want to be friends with you, and I don't really want to have you look at my information. That's happened to me twice in my life. Once was way, way, way back in the MySpace days where a kid who was younger than me, who lived in, like, Florida, I think, he found me, you know, just because he searched his name. And I actually was like, oh, whatever, I'll be friends with the kid. That's kind of cool. And he was like, no, we have the same name. And then he started, like, asking me questions, like, what do you do? And I was like, oh, all right, this is kind of harmless. And it was like a young kid, whatever. But then I was just like, there's something about this is kind of weird. I don't want to, no, I can't do this. And then, like, 2 weeks ago, literally, some weird foreign, I get it, probably a German guy, requested my friendship on Facebook. And I was like, no, this is not happening.
No, that's creepy. That's creepy. I think, I don't know. That's creepy.
I get the fascination, but I don't think I would search out someone with my name and try to be friends with them.
Yeah.
Unless it happens.
Yeah, just because they have the same name doesn't mean that we get to be friends. You know what I mean?
If it happens organically, like in a bar, like, hey, you're a cool dude. What's your name? Whoa, maybe it was me. Okay, it's a little different. But finding you on Facebook and stuff, just because you have the same name, not really the way to go about it.
Right, right.
But anyway, what were you going to say?
You,
off topic.
No, you're fine. I think that means if they found you, they were typing in their own name, which means they're a little bit of a narcissist, I think.
Well, then that means we are as well, because we did the same.
Well, not as
and
good,
nope.
like on Facebook. Like, if you type in your own name on Facebook to see if there was another one of you out there, that's a bit creepy. I think everybody Googles themselves. I know I Googled.
Yeah.
I've Googled myself. I'm not proud of some of the pictures that are on there, by the way. But I've Googled myself.
I got a good story about that.
Go ahead.
When I went to college and lived at college and did the whole college experience, you know, getting drunk with friends, you know, away from parents for the first time and partying all the time, blah, 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 blah. So one of my friends, actually a lot of them, would take pictures and it was all fun and whatever. But one of them was posting them, you know, before Facebook was like super huge and, you know, people were putting all their photos on there and stuff. They were putting them on like Flickr or something like that. And they were putting my full name when they tagged me in a photo. And I didn't think anything of it. And I didn't have anything that bad. But one day my dad, after, you know, just like a year after I graduated, I think, and I was still living at home. And somehow the topic of partying or something came up, and my dad made some comment about how he had put my name into Google because some guy at work was like, oh, you would not believe what I found out about my kid or whatever. And so my dad just did it just to see. So all these pictures were coming up in the Google image search from college. Now, at this point, I'm over 21, and a lot of the pictures were from when I was 21 over. So, like, see me having a beer in my hand, not a big deal at that point in time. But there was one of me, we were just like, we were a group of us were just drinking, we were goofing around, and we were just doing stupid stuff. Like, people were just putting on stupid clothes. Like, someone would go into my room, like one of the girls that we were friends with, would go into my room while we were all in the living room, because we lived in an apartment at that time, and they'd come out with, like, some goofy guy's clothes on, you know, too big for him. And we're like, aha, that's cute and funny. And so I got in on it for whatever reason. And so there's a picture of me, like, clearly wasted, wearing, like, a bra on the outside of my T-shirt. And like, I have, like, a banana in my hand. It just looks inappropriate. And I'm, like, flipping through, like, a Cosmo magazine or something. Just, like, looking like a complete moron. Just being a college kid, just trying to get a laugh out of his buddies. But then my dad's like, yeah, pretty interesting photo I saw on there. So needless to say, I contacted my friend. I was like, we're going to need you to take my name off those photos to help my future opportunities. Nothing too terrible, but I think that one picture of me in a bra is going to be a little much for them to handle. So thankfully, that's my only bad internet story, and it's not that bad. But, yeah, you got to be careful. I people are a little bit smarter these days, you know. It was kind of, not that the internet was new, but the whole employers, like, looking up your information on the internet was a little bit new back then, so it didn't come back to bite me. But, yeah, kids, be careful what you put on out there.
Yes. Yes. I too, have an embarrassing story that I didn't realize that the picture was taken. I wasn't posing for the photo. But there was a picture of me dry humping a cop car. While the cop was at a fast food drive-thru. And apparently my boss found out, which wasn't it wasn't such a great thing. The good thing was is that, you know, back then people don't use your Facebook profile or Twitter profile against you at work. Her words were simply, you know, you work at Blockbuster, and that's fine. But, you know, you might want to, you know, make sure that you just kind of take care of these things with your name not attached to it. That's so embarrassing. It was awful.
I said, thankfully I had a temp job at the time. Like, I was right out of school. My dad was just like, you know, he didn't say it, but I got the point immediately. Like, okay, if my dad, who at the time wasn't super computer literate, you know, he's gotten better, can find this stuff. Again, nothing terrible, but it might be that little extra thing where they're like, hey, this guy and this guy are so similar. Let's just do a Google image search. And one guy's got all these pictures of him winning awards and looking nice in suits, and then there's me mouthing a banana to try to make my friends laugh while wearing a bra in my old college apartment. Things might not go in my favor so much. So, but, yeah, thankfully you see it all the time, articles. And we were watching, my girlfriend and I were watching a news program the other day about these people, this IRS fraud thing that people are doing now. We don't have time to really get into it. But they're doing this thing with tax returns where they're getting people's returns and they're making tons of money. And some girl supposedly had made like over $1 million by ripping off hundreds of people with her boyfriend. And she was bragging about it on Facebook saying, you know, that she was the queen of IRS fraud. And she's a millionaire, so come and try to get me. You're not going to be able to do it. And, of course, she's arrested and facing all this time. Like, and if the girl had just not said a word on Facebook, it all would have just went away. I mean, people, you hear about it every day. A kid just got suspended from a school for tweeting a picture of one of those stupid standardized tests that mean nothing, but for the school district it means something. He wrote, like, I'm not going to take, who cares about this? I should be studying for my real finals or something like that. And then put YOLO, you know, you only live once, and then took a picture of it, posted on Twitter, and they suspended him for it. Now, whether you agree with that or not, there's another example of, you know, Twitter or social media coming back to bite you because you think you're smarter and funnier than everybody else.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I'm interested.
Well, with that,
coming up next is Guilty Pleasure. And I'm interested to know what Karen and company, I see Karen's already here and ready to, what you think about the Twitter and social media, and if you Googled yourself and found something that was not so flattering. I know you got a little better out there, you know, for things that you are doing and have done, but do you have any experiences with it? I'm excited to hear if they can play out that a little bit coming up.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right, and you guys,
You guys can catch us every Tuesday night at 8 Eastern Standard Time, and your guilty pleasure every Monday through Friday at 9 Eastern Standard Time. You have the Jake Pentland Show at 4 on Saturdays, and you have the AMCS Press on, what was I think, it's every weekend or every Wednesday at 11. There it is. All right, guys, have a great night. Here is your guilty pleasure.
Great show, guys.
Why can't I hear it? Whoever played it, turn the volume up. What?
Oh, not that loud. I'm sorry.
Party.
My bad.
I love it.
Dance party.
I dropped my piece of bread.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
welcome to Uncensored Radio. Oh, here it goes. Do we get it again? We get two things on? Go.
Cat, are you ready for this?
What the hell is going on here tonight, people?
Go.
I have no idea. Want, give it to you nonstop.
All right, let's do it again.
Yeah, and you know what? And I love the fact that he forgets, like, he's delayed. So it's like you're, like, singing the words after the words happen.
It's like the national anthem, like, at a stadium, and then their mouth is singing different times. That's what that
yeah.
is.
You know what the best part was? You should have seen me,
yeah.
though. I was really rocking out. Like, I was busting some moves
sure.
while I was singing.
I could totally picture it. That's what I was picturing. I knew it.
There were dance moves.
Just like
I
in
know,
the
there
car.
There were, like, Madonna, like, Britney Spears dance moves. I know it was.
Yeah, there were hand motions. The neck was moving.
Uh-huh. Katrina, didn't I send you a video when I was driving to Lexington singing a song?
Oh, yes, of course.
He's an undercover wannabe singer, and I don't understand why he just doesn't, you know,
don't get me wrong, I love to sing, but I can't sing, and I'm well aware that I can't sing.
Auto-tune, we're going to auto-tune you.
I don't think that could even help. I've tried, I've gotten auto-tune apps, and it doesn't work, like, I still sound like shit.
You should at least continue to make videos, because your videos are awesome. My favorite one is the one of us. Driving home after we filmed the reality show with me dancing.
I know. Can we put
back,
that on YouTube, or are you going to have an issue with that?
James' song, and I had no makeup on. That was rude. But the dolphins are in it. Joey's in it. It was hilarious. That was fun. That's my favorite.
Okay, it's going on YouTube.
Uh-oh.
I will work it out. I will
well, welcome to Uncensored Radio. I know we just dove in. Sometimes we can't even stop talking. I think Jeffrey serenades us. Just made us so excited. We were so happy to get the show started. I'm Carrie Ashley. Jeffrey Emmett and Katrina Johnson are all in the house, and Daisy is producing. So, hi guys. How is everyone today?
I'm a little stressed.
Uh-oh. Why?
Well, my girlfriend / roommate had a birthday at midnight, so it's technically today, and she has a broken ankle, and she was supposed to get her cast off yesterday, and she was so depressed that it was up to me to cheer her up.
Oh, well, you're good at that. What's the problem?
Well, the problem is that all my friends are high maintenance, and so now it's birth season. It's not a birthday, so I've only just begun.
Oh, well, I'm sure by the time you are done with her, she's going to be undepressed, and she's going to laugh at the depression that she has. You know?
Well, yeah, I mean, I already started. Last night I got home, I decorated my whole house like Hello Kitty. And I had
is it a party for you or is it for her?
It's for her. It's one of those gifts you give to somebody else that's really for yourself. Like if your husband gives your wife a gym membership for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Like that kind of thing. Like it's for her, but like I'm not going to lie, I enjoyed it. A big 5-foot level Hello Kitty. Was kind of awesome.
Right, right.
And Hello champagne everywhere. It was ridiculous. And that was at midnight. And then we did presents. And then I worked all day. And then now we are going to Sugar Factory, which is, I don't know, I'm sure you have. But, yeah, it's like that celebrity candy store with the $35 blinged-out lollipop. And they have, like, a whole restaurant devoted to sweets. So they have
a picture
full of alcohol, and I will be drinking one, and I will send you pictures.
Perfect! Make sure you do a video so we can post it to our YouTube channel. And if you haven't signed up for our YouTube channel, it is Uncensored Radio. YouTube at Uncensored Radio, right, James? What is our YouTube channel?
Don't ask me.
YouTube.com/myUncensoredRadio. Okay, perfect. Yes, it's YouTube.com/myUncensoredRadio. Why? Because it is your Uncensored Radio, and we're here to entertain you. So, Jeffrey, how was your day? Because you are chipper, chipper, chipper.
I actually had a really great day, and then a really great thing happened. You know, I took our Twitter account and went crazy on it and followed pretty much every GH star there is, I think, that I found on Twitter. Yeah. Oh, I just followed another one there. Oh, they just keep coming. Oh, they just keep coming, damn it.
And what, do they follow?
One of them followed us back, and I just want to give a shout-out to Tristan, I can't speak, Roberts. He plays Robert Scorpio on the show, Robin's dad, and he's following us on Twitter. So, hey, dude, we hope you come on and join us. Big fans.
Yeah.
We love you.
We want you to come on the show, Mr. Scorpio. Like, you know what, though? We need to call him Tristan because I know when people go, hi, Aisha, I'm like, I just told you my name's Karen Ashley.
Right.
We're
going to
turn into those people. We're going to turn into those people. You know this, right? When we're
and unfortunately, right now, he's not listening to our show because he's on talk soap. I'm not sure what that is.
It's okay.
But
he's going to catch our show on his Stitcher app on his phone. And he's going to catch up to the man.
Right. And he's going to hear us. He's going to hear us talking about him, praising him, saying that we've been devoted GH fans forever and that we'd like to do a GH week, and hopefully him and his cohorts can come on and entertain us. And I think that'll be the week that Katrina Johnson takes another hiatus because she can't stand. But that's okay. Because one day we're
going
to have
a little
crazy.
Well, you know what, though? I like soap stars because they're all hot. So I have I have no problem being on the air with a bunch of soap stars and hitting on all of them because they're all hot.
Right. Exactly. We're trying to hook you up, like, slightly, like, you know, low-key kind of, you know, bring hot dudes on the show.
Appreciated.
Mm-hmm. So, this is funny. I got a funny email from Katrina right before the show started about some guy.
Oh, man.
For his cab fare with some weed.
Oh, okay. Fuck you both. I just want to say I read them. I want a cookie.
Yes. Okay, we'll get you a cookie. What's your passion?
No, I really don't want a cookie, but I'll take a piece of celery. You know, that's negative calories and shit.
Wow, okay.
Wow.
Oh, the Psalm of all the NLP. Who is this guy?
Hey, mm-hmm. All these conventions coming up, bitches got to get skinny.
I'm going to get you like a bushel of kale then. How about that?
I don't like kale.
Oh, damn it. Butternut squash, you were making soup earlier.
But do you like wheat, Jeffrey? And would you pay your cab fare in wheat?
No, I would not pay my cab fare a week because I have a break. Well, it depends. I feel like in those situations, you have to be smart enough to look at the person and know, is that a person that likes weed or not like weed? You can really kind of tell. You know, you look at Katrina, you can tell she's not a bitch that gets down with the weed. But maybe you look at some other people on this panel or on Uncensored Radio, and you'd be like, I know that motherfucker get down with some weed.
Maybe, right? That sounds about right. You gotta, you know,
you gotta be smart. You have to be smart.
Can you hear Katrina?
Barely.
Barely, doll. You need a UDL, man.
I said you have to be smart with your prejudice.
Okay. Well, tell us what happened, because for those who don't know, there was a guy who did this. So tell us what happened. We need to hear.
Okay. Well, I would actually like to do a live reenactment for you both, if you don't mind.
Oh, my gosh. I love these. I love these. Okay. Do we have any soap opera music?
It's like a bitch on the move live reenactment.
Okay. Do you need like soap opera music, theme music, something? Should we play something?
Anybody
what's
dramatic,
that?
Anything? No? Can I get a la da da da?
Boom, chicka boom, 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 chicka boom, boom. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I'm a character actress. I'm not racist. Bear that in mind. Okay. And their character is going to be age 75. Yo, dog, man, I don't have that 875, dude. How about this dime bag? I'm going to hook you up, homie. I don't know. I don't take
I think you're a racist.
Bag sometimes.
I concur.
You know what? I gave you a warning, and that means that because I said that, it doesn't count against me.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't. Give them the thing that says whatever is said by Katrina Johnson is her views and her views only, and she does not express the views expressed by.
And the Razzie is awarded to Katrina Johnson, the Razzie.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyway, the point is the guy had no money, and he was trying to pay his $8 cab fare with weed, and I think it was awesome and innovative, and I think it was kind of brilliant. And you should be sad that you missed out on the rest of the scene because it was funny. Bottom line, he tried to pay $8 worth of weed.
With a dime bag?
Well, like, I'm paying. Like, now, I don't know this to be certain, but I'm just wondering because, you know, probably since the last time I've purchased marijuana was over a decade ago or pretty close to it. Now, back in the day, there was, like, things called...
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
Nick bags and like dime bags, you know, they were just teeny little bags. But now, like you spend $20, or back then you could spend $20 and get you a sandwich baggie. Now you spend like $20,
right.
You get one you used to get for $5. So I'm saying, like, how much weed are we talking? Like, was he trying to get
what
like?
What level? What grade of weed was he
looking
at? Yeah.
Like,
well, I think if it was that good, the tushy kind of bag. Then he wouldn't have gotten in trouble. I think it was offensive because it was that crappy kind.
No.
That's
my guess. Oh, he had
some dirty. Or maybe it was a sticky, icky, icky, and he got in trouble because it's worth a lot of money.
She said it wasn't sticky, icky, icky.
That's what Snoop Dogg said.
You know a bitch had been around some weed, which she can refer to
LA.
It as stinky, iggy, iggy.
I'm going to be the first to say,
okay.
I'm in LA, but weed is legal. So it is nothing to walk down the street and someone smoking that stinky, iggy, iggy.
Yep.
Nothing.
So
yeah, I can say I do know a little bit about it, actually.
I was in a cab once in North Carolina, and the cab driver stopped off to buy marijuana while we were in the cab and pulled us around the back of a crack house and bought weed in a Ziploc baggie that was wet and it smelled like oregano.
So
I'm
you're
like,
saying
dude, are you sure that's weed or just buy some bushes in the backyard?
Were you offended or did you get put five on it is what I need to know.
I didn't put five on it, but I thought it was hilarious that this idiot would do that while I'm paying him. And then he ended up taking like $10 off of the cab fare.
Well, he was like one of those true weed heads where he was like,
he was in need,
real. Right, I need this for my nerves. So if you want to get there safely, let me just make a little quick pit stop.
Yeah, that's exactly how much it was hilarious. I would typically have been offended by that because I was a little, I don't know, prudish back then, but I think it's hilarious now. I mean, just the fact that he had to do it and then he gave me a discount, I was like, all right, cool, go ahead. And the fact that I didn't even think he bought real weed, like, I'm not a pot smoker, but I don't think he bought real weed. I think the dude got ripped off and bought some spices from a backyard and that were just freshly picked. And it was wet when he got back in the car, so I think he got ripped off, which just made me laugh.
Wow. Wow. Well, I think it's great. I mean, I think this is the thing, though. At least he didn't try to bail on the cab driver. At least he didn't try to, like, steal a cab ride. Like, I mean, I think that's a pretty even barter.
I mean, I can respect the fact that he tried to bargain. He offered up something.
Right, but I am in a state that, you know, it obviously weed is legal, so maybe I'm a little bit more, you know, less offended by things, but, you know. How do
I
you
think
feel
it's
about
hilarious.
It, Jeffrey? Would you have put, if you were in a cab and you know, you had an opportunity to let the cab driver, you know, stop and get his little sticky iggy, would you put five on it or would you be offended?
I wouldn't put five on it, but here's the thing. It would depend if how much of a hurry I was in. I don't mind he gonna stop and get his fixed, but I'm saying you're gonna give me a discount on my cab ride.
Right. Okay. Yeah, like I got. That makes me cool. It does.
And at the same time, if shit goes down, I'm taking your cab and I'm getting the fuck out of here.
Now tell me something, Jeffrey. Since you are one of my business people.
Yeah, he's got some good business sense. I like that.
Right, he does. He'll negotiate a deal like no other. So if you were to, you know, since we're selling advertising on Uncensored Radio, and if you're not advertising on Uncensored Radio, I'm not quite sure what you're waiting on. But let's say someone wanted
Katrina
to advertise on Uncensored Radio, and they come to you and go, look here, Jeffrey. I know the ad time is actually this much money, but I only got this much money. But I got a little weed for you, Jeffrey. Can we barter with some weed?
No.
Would you be offended or would you take the weed and like try
I'm
to
saying,
and make some more money?
You come at me with some Omaha steaks, maybe we could talk. No, wait, I gotta tell you, this actually happened. Lord Baltimore, to Mike, it actually happened, which Katrina still doesn't even know about all that. But he, you know, when he was claim suggesting or whatever, that, like some guy basically, like he drove like, you know, a truck that was unmarked, but he was selling like frozen steaks out the ass end, and he like offered Mike frozen steaks to make his like claim bigger or something. Mike did not take the steaks.
What? That's hilarious.
Yeah, it was great. Like, Mike, I can still hear him calling me. Like, it took him, like, 15 minutes to get the story out. He was laughing so hard.
That is kind of one of the funniest things ever.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like, I think that's kind of nice. Like, at least it was with high-quality steaks.
Right. Well, and then the best part was later on, like, way later, one of the garages he worked for was like, here, but they gave him a ton of steaks as a bonus or whatever, you know, just for being a great, because he, you know, it was one of the workshops they worked with or whatever. So it was last year. I don't remember for what, but Mike shows up with a cooler full of freaking steak.
I bet you were happy, though. I bet you, like, greeted him with a smile.
It's the only time in my life I've ever had steak for breakfast.
What?
Steak and eggs.
Next time we're together, we're having steak and eggs, homie.
Honey, but you have to remember, I just started eating steak in the last, like, since I've been with Joe. Like, I never ate it as a kid, never, you know, so I'm just really learning about it, learning how to cook it, you know, like,
right.
But it can't be pink. It's got to be dead. I like a little crispy.
Mine still mooing. I like it still a lot.
Bitch, I saw your rack of lamb in Vegas. I was horrified. Like, that bitch was still bleeding. Like, I think they shot it.
I like mine
it.
Medium. I'm in the middle. I like mine medium. Little char on the outside and little medium on the inside. It needs to be juicy, though. It needs to be red on the inside.
Okay, I got a question for you two. What would you do if you were eating at Denny's and your bill was $10 and you only had a dollar? What would you do?
Oh, I've done that before.
You couldn't pay for your steak and eggs. What are you going to do about it?
I gave the waiter a check, and then it bounced.
Shut up.
Yeah, I was probably like.
Your face. They probably have your check on the wall. With
no, 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 they didn't. No, because I didn't give Denny's a check. I gave the waiter a check. Well, what happened was, I was underage.
Oh, my God, even worse. This is awesome.
Oh, it gets better. So I'm hammered with my friends.
You don't say.
And I'm like 17. We just got back from a club or whatever. We go to Denny's to eat. I pass out at the table. Well, we all go to leave, and apparently I was supposed to be the one to pay for breakfast. Somebody carried me out and brought me home. And I get, like, a call or something from the waiter because we kind of knew him. And he's like, nobody paid last night, so I had to pay out of my tips.
No.
I was like, oh, okay, no problem. So I go and give him a check, not knowing that I had already overdrawn my account.
Oh, my God.
Because I didn't keep track of my cash back then. And so poor dude, it was like $37. It bounced his account like left and right. And he called me up crying, talking about he couldn't pay his light bill, his babies that had no diapers. Like, horrible. So then I was like, well, do you want another check?
Oh, no. You're
so needless to say, about 6 months later, I went in and gave the guy his $37.
What the hell?
Well, we just went to a different Denny's, that's all.
Oh, my God. That's so freaking wrong. You put this man in dire straits. Oh, my God.
It was 37. Okay, I guess that back then it was a little bit more. But it's like, come on. Like, you know me. Like, I'm a big tipper. So, like, all the times that I've tipped this guy, you know, like, I leave, like, the bill would be $30. I leave a $20 tip because that's how I roll. Because I feel like if you'd give good service, you deserve the money. You know, so it's like I have given him that $37, you know, probably 100 times over at that point. So it's like, you know, I don't really want to hear it.
No excuse.
Well, all right, I guess.
There was
another guy in Niagara Falls, which is kind of, I guess, not too far from you, Jeffrey, who went to the Denny's cashier and offered him $1 and a bag of weed to cover the $10 check.
I need to know, did the waiter take it?
He got to go to jail instead.
Oh, my God.
Like, I have seen some stuff. You know, working at a club, I mean, well, I don't know about what y'all do in Vegas, but out here, like, you'll go out to the club, whatever, the bar, and then afterwards, everybody go to breakfast. And, like, out in Auburn specifically, like, Denny's is the only place open. Now, in Syracuse where I worked, there was other places, but we'd still randomly some nights end up at Denny's because there was one literally, like, not even 2 minutes down the road, like, you could walk. And the shit that I've seen in that place go down, I have seen a bag of cocaine shredded all over the place and cocaine flying through the restaurant at, like, 3 o'clock in the morning. Police taking people down. I swear, it was amazing. Back then, you know, there wasn't no camera phones because I'd be a millionaire. I mean, the tables were flying. This dude was jumping from booth to booth. It was the most insane thing you've ever seen in your life. It was fantastic.
From booth to booth?
Because they always, because this particular Denny's always had some kind of troubles, so they kept cops in them. And the cops were chasing the dude because the stupid fool was trying to blow a line of coke at the table. Well, the waitress or whoever, I don't know who it was that saw him, went and told the cop because we were kind of like around towards the back so you couldn't see from where the cop was, but somebody went and told the police officer. So he kind of came charging, and the kid just went running. He like freaked out. The bag went up in the air. I mean, it wasn't a huge bag, but, you know, it was enough that there was white powder kind of blowing all over the place there for a minute.
Wow.
And he just starts jumping on tables. Like, I mean, it was crazy. They finally caught him, like, 2 blocks down the road. But, I mean, it was amazing.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Well, you know what? I want to know. I know that's pretty amazing. And that story, I will say this. But, Katrina, I just thought of something that you don't know about that is pretty amazing. And, I need Jeffrey to tell you about it. He spoke to someone a few days ago that he hasn't spoken to in about 9 months.
No.
Yes.
I'm going to be a daddy. No, I'm just kidding. But wait, first, I just want to say, in a little bit here, Holly's going to be calling in. She was the girl, she was sitting in the audience at the Rosie show when it was on OWN and got picked out of the audience by Rosie to be the announcer, so she's coming on. She's going to be here with us soon. But, okay,
awesome.
Back to this. Okay,
oh, and then
crazy.
Also, tomorrow, we've got David Yost. We're going to be talking gay marriage, so be sure and call in, whether you're pro-gay marriage or you're against it. We want to hear from everybody. Go
That's
ahead.
Right. And then
Carry
Thursday...
On.
It's Michael Stern, who wrote the book, I Had a Ball, Life with Lucy. Like, he was Lucy's number one fan. The book is amazing. He's going to be – we're going to have a riot with him because he has met, like, every celebrity you can think of. I'm not sure that he doesn't have pictures of them and autographs by them. Like, it's amazing what this guy does. So I can't wait to have him on Thursday. And then next Wednesday, the 10th, Catherine Sutherland is back, guest co-hosting with us for the whole hour. It's going to be a hoot. Maybe, what did she call them? Dingleberries? Maybe we'll talk about dingleberries.
Yeah, that's our topic for the day.
Oh, I hope not.
But back
She's
to the juicy
lady.
Stuff. But back to the juicy stuff. Jeffrey, go ahead and tell Katrina.
On,
who
okay,
you
go.
Spoke to this past weekend for more than an hour, Katrina, multiple conversations. Go.
Ooh.
I spoke to Team Blowhole.
No. No. Tell the truth.
I talked to Fishy.
Wow.
Yay!
No. Tell the truth.
Okay,
that's
no, it really
lie.
Wasn't fishy. Okay, fine. It was Christina.
No, tell the truth.
Damn.
How many
still...
people can Jeffrey cut off? Jeez.
Actually, I got a list. It just got bigger this morning, but that's a whole nother day. no, I
tell
talked to Mike, a.k.a. Lord Voldemort. Hello? Are you there?
Your reaction. We'll wait for your reaction.
There was nothing.
Katrina.
Was...
Moment of silence.
Let's rewind. What?
I
yes, and you know
yesterday.
What the greatest thing is? He told me how to get Photoshop for free for 30 days. So now I've been Photoshopping your breasts. I just wanted you to know.
Oh, my God. I believe it.
No, it's really true. I got photos from our LA photo shoot and have been photoshopping them and learning how to use Photoshop. Thanks,
Sam.
Oh,
my gosh. What did you
yeah, no, we talked for a while.
Did you get an apology?
Yeah.
Good. And?
And it was okay. It was a conversation, you know, like there was nothing real juicy. Like it was just a conversation, like, you know, like we just kind of picked up where we left off before the show started.
Wait, so you're BFFs again? Like, what do you mean? You
no, BFFs? No, I haven't talked to him since. Like, I'm just saying. Hello? Why is there always that silence?
Because we're at a loss for words. We're at a loss for words. No, it was as if nothing ever happened, Katrina. It was as if there was no stolen website. There was no, like, he acted like nothing ever happened. He's like, he started off with a joke, didn't he, Jeff? He led with a joke.
I don't really remember. Oh, did he say something about Katrina?
Oh, wow.
No, what?
Wait, I don't know. What are we talking about?
No, I'm talking about your conversation. Like, why are we losing you on this? Someone doesn't want to
confess. Because it's been like 3 days. I don't remember. I've had a lot of shit go on since then. I almost forgot I talked to him.
Yeah.
So many
what are we
hours
talking about?
Oh, we're devoted to that relationship, and you barely remember talking to him now.
Okay,
right.
So here's the big kicker. This is what she wants me to tell you, Katrina, that I've been trying not to tell you. He's coming back to the show. I'm just kidding.
We should have did that yesterday. That was a perfect April Fool's joke. We're a day late and a dollar short.
Yeah, but it's so much better doing it the day after because then the bitch believes it.
Right.
I like lost my breath. I was like, I did one of those. Uh-oh.
You should have waited a little longer, Jeffrey. I was gonna take it to the end of the show. I was gonna let her.
No, because I didn't want her to start flipping out.
You know, you don't want to not come back or anything in protest. Apparently, that's frowned upon.
Right.
That was kind of amazing. I loved
silence. It was classic. Like, I love the silence. I love the fact that
you guys are messing right now, and I don't even know what to do about it. I'm just so shocked right now.
Well, you know what? We have to get you back for hurting your dad. You almost gave him a heart attack on you know, April Fool's. So we're gonna start fighting his battle.
Well, that's rude. I didn't hurt him. I just, you know, made sure the pacemaker is still ticking.
Oh, man.
That's horrible.
Say what?
But that's me.
I think I know who it is.
Hello?
Hello? Is this Miss Holly?
Yes, this is.
Hey, girl, what's poppin'?
Nothing much. How are you guys this evening?
We are great. Welcome to Uncensored Radio.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad I'm finally able to come on.
I know, it's just like a year or two later, but it's all good. I don't know who is worse, me or you. Holly and I have been, like, DMing, calling, texting, I think, for, like, a year, trying to, like, make it work, and it just, yeah.
Well, you know what? You know what the problem is? I'm going to be honest with you. The problem is that I hate Twitter. And it's not that I hate it, but it's so impersonal, and so I don't go on there as frequently as I could or should. So by the time, like, you send one message, it's, like, 5 weeks later, and I'm like, oh, hey, yeah. So
I'm just as bad because I saw your message, like, 3 weeks later. So we're even. We're both equally as bad. And the only one from this show that's any good with Twitter is Katrina. Karen and I both kind of suck.
Yeah, okay. Well, kudos to you, Katrina. You're awesome.
Well, thanks. But I had to delete Jeffrey from mine because he started posting some craziness.
That's awesome. So what's up? How have you guys been?
We have been fantastic, but we want to know, okay, so for everybody who doesn't know, can you tell everybody what kind of happened to you? Because it was kind of awesome.
Okay,
with
so
the Rosie show?
I'm Holly Chanel, and one day a friend of mine got me tickets to the Rosie show. I'm sitting in the audience, and and a producer comes out and says, hey, you've been making some funny facial expressions. Can we get your contact information? Of course I gave my contact information, but I'm thinking, like, okay, it's no big deal. Well, they call me a few days later and say, hey, can you come on the show? We think it'd be awesome if you were a guest announcer that day, and we have some funny footage of you from when you were in the audience before. I said, okay, fine, no big deal. I get there. Things go very well. Rosie talks to me for a while, for basically like the first entire break of the show. And, you know, everything was cool. And so later that evening, I get a phone call that says, hey, can you come back for the rest of the week? I said, sure. The next day I come back, and she has announced live on national television that I am hired as her official announcer for the remainder of 2011.
It was crazy. Like I said, they're jumping up and down on the seat for you. But because you had said on the show, like, you had just kind of become unemployed, so it was, like, kind of perfect timing.
Right.
And how did it change your life? I mean, because you kind of just were instantly like, bam.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. It really didn't change my life much, to be honest with you. You know, it was definitely a blessing, of a massive amount of magnitude, but you know, I still kept it low-key. The job was only promised until the end of 2011, so it's not like, you know, I could go out and buy a Jag or anything like that. You know, life didn't change much, except that I had to get up a little earlier in the morning, and I'm totally not a morning person. So,
but
yeah,
the show
life
was at 7 o'clock at night. Why'd you have to get up early?
Well, I mean, because on days that we actually tape the show, we would tape about two shows per day. So, you know, we would have to, like, call would be 7 o'clock, and then we would tape one at, like, 10 o'clock, and then we would tape another one at, like, 4 o'clock, and then they would run whichever one was current for that day, so.
That's insane.
Yeah, yeah, it's insane. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were long days, but I wouldn't trade it for the world. It was an amazing experience, and I was really sad that it ended. Because I think it was, for me, it was the first time that I had been, I shouldn't say the first time, but after getting laid off, my last job with After School Matters, all those people that I worked with were like a family. Like, they took care of me, and they were cool. And so that was the only sad thing about leaving that job was that I was like, you know, I'll never get to another workplace where people treat me like family. And lo and behold, I get to Harpo, and those people thought, they treated me like I was their long-lost cousin.
Ah, so you're going to say that the rumors are not true.
You said what now?
Yeah, the rumors weren't true then, because there was crap posted all over the place that it was a horrible place to work, that Rosie was an asshole, and I never bought it. And she was actually just on with Jake a couple weeks ago on Saturday, and he totally didn't ask her the question because, you know, I think it's unfair that people kind of give her a bum rap, and you were there firsthand.
Yeah, I was there firsthand. Here's the deal with Rosie. First of all, I love her to death. I love Rosie. And not because she decided to give me a job, but because of the amount of courage that she has demonstrated throughout her life. That's why I actually look up to her, because she's an extremely courageous woman. Now, with that said, I think that as far as my own personal experience, I never had a bad day on set, never. Rosie was nothing but, I mean, forgive me, but she was nothing but shits and giggles. Like, she was very cool and, you know, down to earth, like the Rosie that we all know and love. The production staff, I think that it was a combination of them, everybody's back was against the wall because Rosie was the first show out on the OWN network, so the expectations were very high. And so with high expectations and little known fact, with working at Harpo, the bar is set so freaking high that, you know, especially when you're new coming into the situation, everybody's kind of on edge because you want this thing to really work. Then you got Rosie, who comes from a different culture of television. She comes
from
New York culture of television, which is just like, okay, if the shit's not working, let's be done with it. Let's move on to the next thing. And so I think it might have been a bit of a clash between those two elements. And so people got frustrated. And at the end of the day, no matter how bad people may say it had been, I didn't personally experience that, so I can't speak on it. But at the end of the day, what I think it boiled down to was everyone, including Rosie, needing to make the decisions that were best for them. And I think that's what the show boiled down to. And so even when, you know, I was no longer the announcer, when she changed the format of the show, I couldn't be mad at Rosie because what did I say about her first? She was courageous. Right. And it takes a strong person to totally uproot an entire show and take it in an entirely different direction. And she did it because that's what she wanted, and that's what she was comfortable with. She took a gamble. Did it pay off? No. But she took the fucking gamble, and you got to admire that.
Right. Well, the thing that always struck me as odd was that the ratings seemed to be going up after she changed, and she seemed to be more in her element. Like, that seemed to actually click more. I mean, at least for me and the people that I know that watch the show.
Right.
I mean, we were sad to see you go, and you were supposed to be, like, some reporter or something.
I was supposed to be a correspondent.
And what happened with that?
Well, what happened with it, I did two pieces, and I think the producers, because there was a new producer on the set, and I think with her current format, because she was doing the one-on-ones, and the one-on-ones were pretty heavy. They were pretty heavy from day to day. And so the things that I was doing, that's just not my personality. I'm a upbeat type of, you know, let's have fun, or, you know, let's do something fun. We can put a serious spin on it.
You can tell it from your facial expressions, girl. I was like, that's the female version of me right there in that audience.
So the pieces that, like, I spent, are you familiar with the ballet company Trocadero?
No.
I
am. Mean Girl.
You said what now?
I said I am.
Okay, yeah. Trocadero is an all-male ballet company, and the men dance on point, and they make fun of, like, standard ballet pieces like Giselle and, you know, Swan Lake. And so, like, the dying swan in Trocadero is shedding feathers at the same time she's dancing on point, okay? So I spent the day with Troc, and it was a really fun piece, but it was supposed to air. I think that piece was supposed to air when, like, Dr. Oz was on talking about death or something like that. And just, you know, the...
Ooh.
It's like, yeah, the stuff didn't fit. So the two pieces that I did just really didn't fit. And so then Rosie said, hun, you know, or a producer called me and was just like, you know, we got to make a change. And I said, well, I understand. And, you know, no hard feelings. And what's so funny, what not funny, but what was excellent was that they gave me, they set me up with reels. They gave me contacts for agents. They were references for me. So they definitely set me up in a way that I would be successful so that it wasn't like a shitty parting or anything like that. Yeah.
That is awesome. So what have you been doing since you left the show?
Oh,
especially
my God.
With those kind of references.
I've been doing everything. I think, you know, what was great about that show was that, about getting the Rosie show, was that it kind of took my fear of being unemployed away, like totally took it away. So in the time that I haven't been on the show, that I got laid off from the show, I've been teaching ballet primarily. So I have, funny enough, the people who laid me off in the first place, they hired me back as a dance instructor. So I have my own ballet program with After School Matters.
Wow.
Right, and then I teach ballet for a small school on the south side of Chicago, the Iona Calhoun School of Ballet, and then I also teach community classes for the Joffrey Ballet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So
that's what I primarily do. And then I started a bit of a consulting business on my own. So, and basically I consult on various projects. So... my unofficial motto is that I take your baby and I make it into a full-grown person. So if you have an idea or if you have an event or something that you want to see come to fruition, I'm the person to make sure that gets done. So,
where the hell were you 2 years ago when I started this shit?
I'm sorry.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, so, I mean,
question.
You said what now?
I said the hard-hitting question. There you go.
Exactly, right. So, you know, I've been doing a lot, and by the grace of God, I've been making money and paying bills. So it's been
That's what it's about, sister.
Yeah.
I have a question that I think our audience who knows you and loves you wants to know.
What
are you doing nowadays to use those fabulous facial expressions?
What am I doing? Oh, I started a YouTube channel. My YouTube channel is Holly Chanel Uncut. And so, basically it's me just talking about what's on my mind in a really blunt kind of way. And, you know, my Facebook friends like it, and, you know, I've gotten a pretty favorable response. One of my videos has over 1,000 hits, which I know is not a lot in the YouTube-verse universe, but it's a lot for me as just a single person. It's like, hey, I'm going to start my own channel. So I'm pretty excited about it. I actually haven't released a video in about 3 weeks, so it's time for me to get another one up there. But, yeah, whenever the spirit moves me, I just pull out the old Mac and, you know, just tell the people like it is.
Right.
Girl, that's
so
funny. We do that on a nightly basis here.
Nice.
Right. So, Holly, do you have any desire to go back to TV at some point?
Hell yes. I loved television. So what people don't know about me is that I actually have a background in radio. I was actually on hip-hop radio station here in Chicago, Power 92, back in 2005 to 2006. I was actually an on-air personality. And I left because the station itself wasn't my cup of tea, but then I thought about radio as a whole. And I didn't necessarily want to do talk radio, but I also didn't want to do, like, mainstream, you know, heavy rotation radio because there you're just saying, like, hey, this is Holly. Listen to this new record. It's by so-and-so. Have a good day. And you do that for 4 hours, you know?
Right.
So television was definitely, like, a great experience for me because it allowed me to use my whole self. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I could talk to people, I mean, you know, when I was allowed to, but I could talk to people, I could relate to people. And just like you're saying, even if it was just a mere facial expression or a hug or something, it resonated with people. And that's what I like being me. I like opportunities to be me and me and my full self. So television was freaking awesome. Awesome.
Wow.
I would do it again in a heartbeat.
Very cool.
Well, if we get a talk show, I'll be calling you.
Exactly. We'll have you on as a co-host if we get a talk show.
Oh, please. Oh, I am there with bells on and my pumps.
We like that. We like that. Well, we wish you so much luck, and we're going to pump your YouTube channel up so hopefully we can get you even more likes and even more views. And we would love for you to come back one day and co-host with us. And like Jeffrey said, we actually are in the works of doing an uncensored radio talk. So it's like uncensored talk. So we would love for you to work with us one day. But good luck with everything.
Thank
Such
you very
great,
much.
Like,
and Jeffrey, you know how to reach me now, and I'll check my DMs more frequently, okay?
Yeah, I hear you. But now tell everybody where they can find you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube again.
Okay, so on Facebook, you can find me at Holly Chanel. That's H-O-L-L-E-E, Chanel, like Coco Chanel, number 5. On Twitter, you can find me at Holly Chanel. That's H-O-L-L-E-E-C-H-A-N-E-L. And then my YouTube channel is Holly Chanel Uncut. So that's H-O-L-L-E-E Chanel Uncut. And that's it. That's where you can get at me.
All right, girl. Well, we will make sure to send people, and we will post the links in our chat room and on our Facebook and our Twitter for you, and I will be in touch with you soon, Miss Sang.
Awesome. Thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate the love. And thank you for having me on.
Thank you.
Bye. Yeah,
all
thank right. you.
Talk to you soon.
Bye, baby.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, I'm in love with her. Can I just say it?
I know. Yeah, no, I
like,
am too.
Where the hell was she when we were casting for that dramatic show we have called Chick Chat?
I love her spirit, like, just, like, it's so amazing. I could see how she would be sitting in an audience, and she would just be reacting, and her energy got them to notice her. Like, she didn't even know the power she possessed by sitting in an audience. Like, you really have to, you know, be doing something to get somebody's attention. Like, there's probably 100 other people sitting in that audience with you. That's awesome.
That's right. Yeah, it's kind of crazy to me. And
it's like
I'm
a Cinderella story.
I know. Like, are you kidding? Like, and I'm sure she got paid some dough, so that makes it even better, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You're jealous? You wish Rosie found you?
Yeah, you know, because I'm like, son of a bitch, if I was there with my facial expressions, I could have been the announcer. Maybe I could have got some teeth out of it or something, you know?
Yeah. We're gonna get you some, Jeffrey, so you just win. You just wait. We got a busy August and part of July. You just wait.
Mama needs some new choppers. Hook a bitch up.
If you are a dentist and you are interested in advertising on Uncensored Radio, please send all inquiries to our website. And we would love to do an exchange. Some choppers for some ad space. Thank you very much.
And kids, let me just put it out there. I'm sure they're all wondering, why is this fool talking about us choppers? Stay away from ephedrine. Or if you don't know what that is, you might know what crystal meth is. Don't do it. I did not do crystal meth, but I did ephedrine, which is what they made crystal meth out of. Come to find out, stay away from it. It's bad.
Yeah,
it's
now
bad now. You can't even
drug.
Do it. Yeah, like Karen and I, like, she's like, the other day, she's like, what happened? I was like, well, let me tell you, it's about this thing. But I got real skinny. I mean, it was kind of fantastic. They do take all the things that make you skinny on the market, kill you. You know, like Effergen was making people's heart explode. Fen-Fen was doing some other shit to people. But it worked. That's a sad thing.
Oh, my God.
Of course, if it's bad for you, it works.
Right, yeah. Of course. That's how it always is. It's delicious if it's bad for you. It works. You have the best time in your whole life. It's just how it works. And it will.
Well,
you
know what was crazy? I think it was in Canada. They released a diet pill, and people were losing weight like crazy, right? Well, then, like, they started putting two and two together because these people would lose all this weight, but they would kind of be malnourished and there would be problems. And then a tapeworm would come out of their ass or their mouth or whatever.
No.
So what they were
doing,
the pill was actually, like, a tapeworm or whatever. Like, yeah, they were, like, pretty yeah, it's crazy, but it worked. I was like, okay, really easily get skinny and have a tapeworm crawl out of an orifice on your body. I mean, you know, I had to weigh the scales here.
Oh, my God, I would die. I would die a death if something crawled out of my body. Like, I would freaking, I don't even know what I would do. I can't even
I mean, that's intense.
I don't know
I mean,
if I'd want to be skinny that bad. I mean, I would be skinny. But, oh, my God, oh.
Like, I do a lot of stuff to my body every day to get skinny, but I don't think I could do that.
Yeah.
Well, you wouldn't know. Like, the people just woke up, and there I was, dead in it next to the bed, or in the bed with them.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my
God. I could never sleep in that bed ever again. I could never sleep in that bed again. Oh, my God.
What's the matter?
Oh my
I mean,
God.
I know it's kind of messed up if you wake up in the morning and there's like a 5-foot tapeworm just chilling next to you, wiggling like, hey, how's it going? But I'm saying, you're skinny.
They get
what
big
happened
feet?
After that? Did they get other problems? Did they gain the weight back? Like, what
I don't know because I haven't I read the article like years ago. So I don't actually remember all the details. But, yeah, like, that's all I could remember was that it was a weight loss pill and it gave you a tapeworm and it crawled out of your ass while you were sleeping.
Okay, this is my thought. What kind of antibiotics do you take after a worm crawls out your ass?
Well, I don't know, actually. It might have been their mouth. I'm thinking it came out of whatever
oh
orifice it could come out of. But it could be, like, up to 5 foot long. Oh.
What if you woke up and, like, there's something, like, mid coming out of your mouth? And
you pull it.
You
ain't never
vomiting.
Got a piece of spaghetti stuck in your throat. You pull it out. I mean, what else are you going to do?
Is it the size of spaghetti or is it the size of a worm? Well,
it's
how wide is it?
A worm. I think you'd choke on it. I think it had to go out of your butt.
I don't know. Well, they do have those people get, like, the worm. What, James? What are you trying to say? Did you look this up? What happened?
No, I'm trying to be like, do we want to talk about something else? And we have our Dallas Diva on the line.
You know
we have our
what,
Dallas Diva on the line
thing.
If we want to wrap up with Dallas.
I want to.
Oh, I can't because I didn't watch it yet. My mom's under the weather.
Well, maybe she should come on because she did come on and she can tell us what we missed.
Okay.
How about that? Come on, Dallas people.
I don't want to spoil it.
Are you there, Jenny?
Yeah. Spoil. I didn't get to watch it either because I got stuck on The Voice.
Oh, there's so much going on. I was kind of confused at one point, and then I was shocked, and then I was just like, "Wow, they're just pulling it all out, aren't they?"
You know, this is the only problem I've had with this version of Dallas. It's like 80 things happen in one episode, and I'm just like, remember how Dallas used to draw it out a little longer?
Oh, no. I don't like that. That's my problem with Gemma Hospital.
Uh-huh.
Like, I like it to move quick. It's a little too, I don't like it when it's slow.
Oh, Lord. Okay, so
I like it when
you
keep it going.
Yeah, give
us a
couple nuggets.
Well, basically, the big shocker for me was the verdict came back that it was actually Christopher's fault that the explosion happened, that the valve was it was bad. And it was because the mayor who actually this is back a couple episodes when she was running and she didn't get it because he was sabotaged. Well, the person that sabotaged her is working with the guy that she called the favor in for. So basically, they kind of paid him off to not say anything, and they went against him. And so everybody was really upset about that. There was a big spout. And then basically, he then provides Sue Ellen with some information, and they start looking and seeing that the dad of the blonde girl, God, I can't think of his name now, Rylan. Rylan was the biggest contributor in the mayor's campaign. It was like $300,000 or something on the paper. So basically they're saying that Rylan has him under his thumb, and that's why they're going down for this $1 billion fine for the valve being corrupted.
Oh, my God. They don't even have $1 billion.
Oh, well, that's the thing, is then the land got seized, so they can't pump oil. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that happened in this episode. So right now, Rylan is hitting them from all forces. They've got the mayor under the thumb, so they got the fines. Tesha said that it was their fault. Basically, after Tesha said it was their fault, Sue Ellen went off the handle and found this, you know, got this paper. It just was delivered on her desk, and she showed it to Bobby and basically says, you know, tell me what's going on. You're leaving me out of the loop here. You guys know more than I do. You know, tell me what's going on. And then they're in a meeting getting ready to talk about it when the papers are served saying the land was seized. So they can't pump oil. They got the capped oil. The oil on South Fork is capped, and it said it would take, he's like, oh, it'll take 3 or 4 weeks for that to go. So they can't untap it and still pay this fine on time. So he's, then Rylan beat up the boy, the boyfriend, the blonde boyfriend, the brother, Ramos.
Are you serious? He beat him up?
Yep. He almost killed him. And then he put the girl in the car and goes right face to face with him. And he's laying on the ground, just tore up. And he basically says, you know, if you don't want these things to happen, then you need to behave. And so he's back at his apartment all trashed when his sister finds him. And, she, you know, of course, he tells her who did it. So that's going to be interesting. Christopher and Pamela are actually okay. There was this big spiel where, you know, she blamed Christopher for it. Well, John Ross went over there and talked to her, found her all drugged up and on the porch, and she hadn't been inside for a long time. I mean, it gave you the impression that she had been out there for a while and she hadn't eaten or anything. And so he went to check on her, and then he talked to Christopher went over there, and Pamela was like, I don't blame you. But then in the cap for next week, it's saying that basically Barnes is going to go talk to Pamela, and at some point they're talking, and they're talking about how the Ewings are going to pay. So I'm assuming that whole, it's not Christopher's fault, isn't going to last long.
Right. Wow.
I don't want to really give away too much more than that. That's just a portion of the episode.
Wow, okay, John, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it tonight. Wow.
Oh, thank you for calling. Time, darn.
She hates Dallas. Well, thank you so much for calling in, and I promise next week we'll actually watch so that we can have our Tuesday discussion of Dallas, because I was glued. I was glued just now. How about you, Jeff?
Well, next week we've got a 2-hour episode. It starts an hour earlier.
Oh!
They're trying really hard. Well, they're trying really hard to get more people to watch, and so they're coming up with more and more drama and more cliffhangers, and now we've got a 2-hour episode, so we'll see where that goes. But I'm glued. I mean, there's so much coming together. We're seeing more, you know, there are other things in there that I didn't tell you about that you're going to kind of see things wrapping up, and JR's plan, quote, is starting to be revealed.
Ooh, yes, master plan. Wow.
So catch up, and we'll chat next week.
Yes, 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 for sure. And for all of you who want to call in tomorrow, remember, tomorrow's a huge show. We're going to have a serious, serious show. We're having David Yost on the show with us. He's co-hosting. We're talking gay marriage. We want people who are for gay marriage, people who are against it. We really want to have a debate about what is going on. It's in the news. It's a hot topic. It's not going to be a Power Rangers show, so please do not call in. We're going to have people screening the calls.
You are not going to get to ask your Power Ranger questions tomorrow. It's just too serious of a topic. We really want to respect the topic. And so definitely respect the show. But we look forward to having him on the show. It'll be really great. Really, really great.
That's right.
Anything else, Dean?
Nope, that's it.
That's it. It's a wrap.
Don't
forget to
follow
us on Twitter and like.
How you going to do me like that? I was not the one.
Follow us on Twitter, like Katrina said. Yeah.
Crazy fucking Power Ranger fan. Stop emailing me.
Only on this show can you talk to Holly Chanel and then talk about tapeworms. Really?
Yep.